Welcome to H2 Tech Talk, the web's most sustainable podcast and your premier destination for expert insights into the global hydrogen sector. Dive into our informative series as we explore the latest advancements, news, and trends in the realm of sustainable energy. H2 Tech is a leading source of up-to-date, compelling discussions around hydrogen technology. Don't forget to subscribe and share to stay connected with the world of hydrogen innovation and sustainable solutions. Now, here's this week's episode.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are live here at CERAWeek. Today, we have Catherine Robinson, Executive Director, Hydrogen and Low Carbon Gas for S&P Global. How are you doing today, Catherine?
Very well. Very pleased to be in Houston and talking to yourself, Tyler.
Well, glad to have you all the way from London. So how are you liking the conference so far this week?
I think it's been great. It's been amazing just to see how much interest there's been in all the different technologies. Lots of discussion about hydrogen, lots of discussion about carbon capture and storage, lots of discussion about permitting and what we need to do to get projects off the ground. So far, very interesting. Looking forward to the next couple of days as well.
Well, fair enough. So speaking to hydrogen, how do you foresee, or what is needed for us to get a lot of these projects off the ground?
I mean, I think what we've seen over the last year, since last CERAWeek, is that a lot of the legal framework has been put in place, but there are still some rules that we're waiting for. Some may be controversial, some less controversial, but certainly waiting for these rules to be finalised. That's one thing that's needed. I think we're also waiting to see exactly how many customers are willing to commit in the long term to allow projects to go forward. But I think we also have to just look back and think how much has changed in the last year. And there are a lot of projects going ahead. Capacity is doubling year over year. And we expect that to continue to happen through, you know, the end of the decade. So if you've got production doubling every year for both natural gas-based hydrogen and electrolysis-based hydrogen, that seems like a pretty fast-growing market to me. And that's what we're hearing people talk about here at CERAWeek.
Yeah, that's quick growth, absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned, you know, policies and things of that nature. What limitations do you think that we have that you may agree with, don't agree with 45B?
I mean, I think, you know, we are not developing projects, obviously, here at S&P Global. We're just looking at what the government has proposed. And I think, you know, one of the things that is very good to see is clarity is as important as, you know, what the actual rules are. But when the rules aren't known, nobody can plan. I think, you know, one of the key things is to finalise the rules, then everybody knows what they have to work against. I think one of the things that we've really noticed is that each country is putting in its own rules, and those rules are all different. And that's one of the big challenges, I think, for the market, is that, you know, we expect hydrogen to be traded, to be moved around the world, all these kind of things. Then, you know, having alignment in policy is very important. And that's really not what we're seeing happening at the moment.
Yeah, alignment, I mean, across global markets, that's a tough one, right? What is the state of the market according to S&P? How are y'all feeling right now?
So, I mean, I think, as I mentioned, we're very optimistic in the sense that the market is doubling year over year. I think we also have to realise that it is starting at a very early stage. So when we look at low carbon hydrogen production, we've got maybe a couple of million tonnes at most out of a market size of 100 million tonnes for hydrogen. So we're starting at an early days. We're growing fast. And the framework is being put in place to allow really big projects to go ahead and more larger projects to go ahead.
Absolutely. So when we talk about like a low carbon hydrogen, are there any areas that you see may be better suited for, you know, blue hydrogen, green hydrogen? I mean, you could even bring in, you know, pyrolysis with, I guess, what is it, turquoise, I guess it's supposed to be at that point.
So I think we're seeing a couple of things emerge. I mean, obviously, at the moment, hydrogen from natural gas with carbon capture, so blue hydrogen, is substantially cheaper than green hydrogen in most parts of the world. That makes it easier to bring into particularly existing uses. So if we look at oil refineries or ammonia producers, they're natural consumers for blue hydrogen. And I think that's particularly true in the European Union, where the ETS credit is is there. You know, if the ETS price is, you know, $80 or higher, then that was probably enough to cover the cost of carbon capture. So that's one area. Obviously, in the United States, we're seeing a lot happen as well in terms of blue hydrogen and blue ammonia covered by the support there from the 45Q. So Northwest Europe and the United States, key areas for blue hydrogen. Green hydrogen, there's clearly a very strong demand in Europe. We're also seeing a lot of interest in terms of production in Australia and in India as well. And yeah, projects going ahead in both regions. In terms of the consumer for green hydrogen, then we're probably looking at things like sustainable aviation fuel or synthetic aviation fuel as being the first consumer, and particularly in Europe.
What are you seeing, or are you seeing anything in South Central America? But I don't tend to see much information on that region.
I mean, I think obviously the fundamentals are amazing. Really, really low cost renewables, potential for developing large volumes of capacity, supportive governments in a number of regions. But I think the projects there are still at a slightly earlier stage. Where we look at the pipeline that's, you know, kind of coming to market, blue hydrogen production in the Gulf Coast and the US, green hydrogen production in Europe, and then Australia and India, they seem to be the leading markets. And then obviously a lot happening in China as well for its domestic market too.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would think Central, because I mean, from my understanding of like South America, there's a lot of renewable resources. I would think that they would be a bit further along.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the economics look good. There are some projects, obviously, that are under development, but it's still waiting maybe to come to scale.
So you mentioned ammonia earlier. So, I mean, can you touch to hydrogen derivatives, ammonia, methanol? Where do you see that market going? Do you think that it's going to be helpful to the energy transition overall? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think, you know, when I look back at Zero Week last year and Zero Week this year, this is one of the really big differences, is that everybody is talking about hydrogen derivatives as opposed to, yes, hydrogen is interesting and important, but it's the derivatives which have the guaranteed market and are maybe easier to transport and these kind of things. So we see a lot of interest in aviation fuels. So in a sort of synthetic jet type product, particularly into the European market. We see a lot of interest in methanol for shipping, again, you know, into Europe. And then ammonia as well, being the sort of three areas that are kind of coming first. And, you know, that's driven by a combination of policy mandates that were, you know, put in place in the EU. It's probably the biggest driver of those markets.
The policies of, sorry, what exact policies are you referring to?
So Europe has put in place consumption mandates for 2030. For the use of synthetic aviation fuels, and also from 2034 for renewable-based fuels for shipping, and, you know, other targets for 2030 as well. So there's a number of binding mandates with very high penalties that if they're not met.
Do you see any policies like that making their way to the US?
I mean, I think, you know, the US is obviously focusing very much on how to drive demand forward. And we heard, I think, yesterday from David Crane at the DOE about how government is, I think the words he used were, wants to create a sense of inevitability about the growth of the market. And he was talking very much about boosting demand in the United States there. I think we're waiting to see exactly what the mechanism will be. But it's very, very clear that that's something that is being looked at, is being thought about very hard. And, you know, things like the hydrogen hubs in the US are one element that's being done, but I think it's not the only one.
What are your thoughts on the hydrogen hubs, actually? I mean, do you think that, I mean, of course, it's an election year. How do you think that something like that will be affected, say, if the administration changes?
I mean, I think we just have to listen to what we heard on the stage last couple of days ago about the commitment from the DOE at the moment, and that's what we're working with today is the current intentions and ambitions, and, you know, clearly they're very much looking to support the development of demand in the United States.
What do you think? I mean, of course, we've talked about, I mean, these hydrogen hubs are perfect kind of projects. Anything further policy-wise that you think would help to speed up some of these projects?
I mean, I think the first thing we need is clarity. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, you know, one of the problems that we have is we don't have clarity of volume. So we've seen targets and incentives put in place and then delayed. And that kind of slightly undermines people's faith in the market. So I think what we need is, you know, very clear rules in place and then stuck to. And that then allows people to move forward and commit. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the strongest messages I've heard is we need clear signals from government and then we can invest against them.
Gotcha. So is there are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to give, Catherine, to our audience?
I mean, I think what I would think is that a couple of years ago we heard an awful lot about hydrogen and we heard, you know, some very optimistic numbers, but not a lot happening, but a lot of huge optimism. I think what we're seeing now is we're actually in the reality. This is when people are putting steel in the ground. This is where people are investing. They're dealing with all the challenges. And, you know, in a way, maybe the sentiment has gone slightly too much the other way. People are saying things have got really hard. It's not going to happen. But what we're actually seeing is just people getting on and doing. And the market is growing, but it's going through, you know, these early practical challenges, but that's setting us with the groundwork or the basis to allow us to go forward. Every single project that commissions makes the next one easier, allows the learning to happen. And I think, you know, if we look back at the history of solar or of offshore wind, onshore wind, any of these things, we know there is a period of learning and then it can really begin to take off. And I think, you know, we're currently moving into the phase with low carbon hydrogen that people are really beginning to learn and understand and be able to scale.
I think we're going to see more FIDs by next year, CERAWeek.
I think there's no question about the fact we're going to see FIDs before the CERAWeek. We've got multiple auctions coming up in Europe over the next year, which will drive a lot of FIDs there. I think in the United States, once we have the final guidance for 45V agreed, then we, you know, things will start to move here as well. But yeah, definitely Australia as well, possibly FIDs there. So loads likely to happen. I think we're looking at a timescale of, you know, projects commissioning 2027, 2028. That's what we're kind of looking at today.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Catherine, again, for joining us for this conversation. We did closing thoughts, so I guess I'll just let you go at this point. Thank you again, and I welcome you on anytime. And I'd like to thank the listeners as well for tuning in to the latest episode.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to subscribe and share to stay connected with the world of hydrogen innovation and sustainable solutions. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to Tyler.Campbell@gulfenergyinfo.com.